All right. So I think a lot of relationships fail. One, because everybody thinks that their partner is supposed to give them 100% of everything that they need. So I feel like people go into their relationships or their marriages. I say marriages because in relationships, it's like, whatever. And then as soon as y'all get married, it's like, you're supposed to become all these things to me now. Like, you're my partner now, so you're supposed to do 100% of these things. You're supposed to give me everything, or you're supposed to supplement for the things that I lack. And this is from conversations that I've had with married people.
Okay.
And then, but I think I know it's unrealistic because it's like that 80-20 rule.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? If it's your person, they're gonna have 80% of what you need. 20%, they not. They just gonna be falling off.
Absolutely. I think it's unrealistic expectations. But at the same time, when you have a relationship and when you have that foundation, there's days where I can't give 80. So if I can't give 80 and I come home and I can't give 80, I need you to pick up that slack.
Yeah.
Because I might only have 10, you know? Or when I come home, what if my husband can't give 80? Mm-hmm. You know, so it's more of that give and take. And a lot of the times when it comes to relationships, all of the pressure is put on one person.
Oh, absolutely.
Like at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
Being a married person.
Right.
Twice.
Right.
To say that. Not only as the woman, you are the breadwinner, you take care of the kids, you do all of these things. So most of the time when the woman comes home, she don't have it. And then you know what the husband wants? He wants to go to Pound Town. He does.
Yeah.
And so the relationship falls off, and I get that that's like a most intimate part of a relationship, but man, how I'm going to Pound Town when I'm tired? I'm exhausted. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't work. I've been away from the house 10 hours, maybe 11. I've had to stop and pick up stuff for dinner, come home, get dinner, get the kids' homework done, get the baby ready for school the next day. And now I got to get ready myself for the next day. And you talking about Pound Town? I'm exhausted. Listen, honey.
You talking about?
And it's not so much as like you want to schedule it or anything like that, but I feel like most husbands, and I could be wrong, most husbands have an unrealistic expectation of their partner.
Okay. I would agree with that. And I think that's why relationships, so people who are single and are dating, I think that's a lot of why it's not their dating experiences are not successful. And I like to delve more into that content or to that point. I think enough people don't spend enough time building legitimate friendships.
Agreed.
They want to rush through the process.
Because they
want Pound Town. But I had this experience where I had to tell the person, like, yo, I don't even know if I like you enough yet. Like, I don't know if I like you being around enough. I don't know, because I don't know how you talk to me when I'm having a bad day. I don't know how you shut down or how you get anxious when your money funny. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know how you respond to life when adversity start kicking in and it don't look like you gonna get past these situations. I don't know what happens when you're grieving. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how you carry that weight. I don't know how you communicate with me when I can't communicate with you. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like, and we gotta have that much of an exchange for me right now to be like, yeah, we together. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not no, like, I'm not about to be out here on no janky relationship building anything.
Absolutely.
Like, if you not even going to be solid enough in the friendship, which is the foundation of everything, then nah, I don't, no.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
Ain't no Pound Town. They got things that happen where you can individually, you understand? I'll be back.
Okay. But you know what? And I totally agree with you. I think in a lot of relationships, they miss that. They miss that friendship piece. Like I can talk about my own, like, situation. Like, man, I miss when we were friends. Mm-hmm. Like, in that dating, courting piece of our relationship. Like, we would just be on the phone, just like, I'm like high school kids, you know, he in his 30s, I'm in my 20s. We just like talking on the phone. And I'm, you know, like miss that, like getting excited when they call or when they text you, and we build a friendship before we were ever decided to date, which was great, you know, onto that dating phase until we went to pound down and it was like, okay, I guess we're together now.
But I think that is the core of what is stifling or hindering relationships in our day and age too, is that there's not even clear communication around us actually being in a relationship.
Well, so keep in mind, today's people are different from when we were, I'm gonna say 10 years ago, 15 years ago, when we were all dating and courting our folks. People now is, they're not dating one person. And I agree with that. Like, if dating is dating. Dating is getting to know, getting and exploring to decide, do I even like this person enough to say that we are boyfriend and girlfriend or girlfriend and girlfriend, or whatever, whatever our titles are, we're dating. But the thing is, when they're dating, they're not just dating. They pounding everybody. Everybody going to pound town. So they're not getting a chance to get to know each other, to say, oh, okay, you know what? Because first you have that chemistry, like, okay, there's that physical attraction, and you want to get to know a person, say, find out if you like them. And again, everybody can't communicate. So when it comes down to it, communication is so off to where, if, like you said, if I'm having a bad day, I don't know how you're going to handle me, you know, or how should I handle you? We need to have these type of conversations well off, like, hey, how do you deal with if you had a bad day? Do you completely shut people out? Do you put your phone on do not disturb and I got to catch you in the morning? You know, do you have to sleep it off? We don't know those things because people aren't taking the time to find out, or they're not communicating their expectations in a relationship early. And sometimes women, I could say for a woman, we don't do that with men for fear of scaring them off.
Because that leads me to my next point, because I was getting ready to say a lot of people don't know how to respect that. If I tell you, like, yo, I need space, they take it personal. Oh, you don't want to talk to me today. And they taking it personal, and it's like, it's not personal. It's communication. You wanted me to communicate. You want me to communicate with you. I'm communicating. What is the problem here? That I don't understand. I missed it. I did what you asked. And you still got mad.
Yeah.
And you still didn't respect my space. And you still didn't. And you still didn't. So now we got a problem.
Because they take it as it's a hit on them. You know, like, instead of actually like seeing it as glass half full, like, okay, you're providing me with this information, I'm gonna take it in, I'm gonna process it, and then I'm gonna respond to you how you need me to. I'm gonna show up for you the way you need me to. People can't do that, especially young people.
I think in hindsight it's getting better, but I just think, like, we always like to say this whenever I make statements or whatever, like, there's generality, and then there's specificity, right? Let me clarify that. There's a generalization, like, there's general people, like, everybody falls in that category, but then there are specific groups of people that do not fit into that category because they have, like, worked or merged out of it. So I think, like, there are specific people that are actually doing the work. But here's the thing, you have to actually be doing the work. And this is when you know that you're actually doing the work in your communication. It's when you're in how you show up for people, in how you allow people to have their spaces, in how you, you know what I'm saying, continually work on yourself and make sure that you're communicating well and make sure that you're attentive to the life that you are living with the person. You know what I'm saying? Like, in how you show up differently, you know? Like, that is how you know that you're doing the work. But you can't, there's a lot of people out here that are saying they're doing the work, and they're very hotepish. They're very, what is it, Grand Rising, all that. No. Right? Right. That's not my steez. That's not my flow. That's not how I, you know what I'm saying? I don't do all that because it, you know, hey, get a, I tell people all the time, I don't even like good morning text. Don't send me a good morning text. Don't, Grand Rising, good, I don't want none of it. Don't, let's get into intellectual conversation at the beginning of the day. Send me a statistic, okay? I'm kidding. But no good morning text. No, none of that. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, yo, how are you?
Yeah.
How are you today? Yeah. How can I show up for you today?
Most definitely.
And after that, then that's how we develop. I don't want a good morning text though. I don't want good morning. You ain't fitting to pound town me off no good morning text.
I'm with you there. I don't mind the good morning text. You know, you can add a beautiful to it. I don't mind the good morning, you know, hey, how are you doing? But I do like the intellectual conversation. I like the checking in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see anything wrong with that. And I think that a lot of relationships, doesn't matter if you are girlfriend and boyfriend, husband and wife and wife, husband, I don't know all the acronyms. But or the terms or the titles, nouns and pronouns.
Pronouns.
But I think people stop dating each other.
Mm-hmm.
And like,
because they get familiar.
You get comfortable. You get complacent. There you and it's go. Like it's like the hand holding stops. They stop opening the doors, and before you know it, you paying for your own dinner. You're like, well, I'll be there.
I know. They don't need to take it that far. They don't need to take it that far.
Then you gotta take yourself to pound town. Then what?
It's a solo trip, guys.
But I'm saying, like, communication is so important.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we talked about unrealistic expectations. But what about that person that says, I can meet all those expectations knowing they can't?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a relationship, like, a recipe for a disaster, because you think you can, right? Mm-hmm. You're like, oh yeah, I can do that. Yeah, that's not a problem. But until you realize like how much this person needs you to do all of these things on top of all this junk you already got going on.
Mm-hmm.
I'ma say I'm guilty of it, because I was like, yeah, okay, that's it, like that's all you need, until I realized like you need it all the time, all day. Like I
gotta go to work.
You know, like, I got stuff going on. I got work. I got kids. I got grocery shopping. I got these dogs. I can't, you know, before you know it, it's like, I can't do that. Like, and then what happens is you develop animosity,
mm-hmm,
towards these expectations. Like, mm-hmm, I hate these fucking expectations. Because now I can't meet them. And you know what? I don't even want to meet them at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Simply because it seemed like it was a doable task until it wasn't. And what happens is not communicating, like, you know what, I can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot of days that I can't show up.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm tired or I've shown up so much. It's hard.
I think it goes back to that. Well, I'm going to say it has to, like, relationships have to stand the test of time. Right. And so I hear people when they like, we ain't gonna be dating for 12 years before we get married. But I mean, I think 2 years is a solid enough time. You know what I'm saying? Before y'all get married, dating for two. Yeah. I think
2 years is a good time.
That's a good, yeah. Because in those 2 years, the seasons have changed so much, and depending on what your lives are and what your backgrounds are, what environment you live in, like, your seasons have changed, yeah, so much in those 2 years that you've seen enough with this person to know. But here's the thing about that too, sometimes it's just time vested that people be like, I done sat here for this long,
yeah,
we might as well keep on going.
I ain't doing it. They gonna be like, she's a runner, she's a track star. But because I did it before, like, my first marriage, like, dang, we dated for, because we were high school sweethearts, mm-hmm, you know, like, we dated for like 11 years because we were young. We waited, but then we had kids because, you know, we went to pound town. But at the same time, I think me now looking back, I'll be like, well, I got married, my second marriage, we dated for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
We lived together for two.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we were raising kids. We were raising four children. So we were doing everything. It was like, we doing it all. You know what I mean? Like, he's showing up, he paying bills, he motivated me to do the things that I want to do. So I'm going back to college. I'm doing all the things that I want to do, right? Like, okay, it got hard, you know, And I didn't see anything wrong with dating before marriage. Like, he knew in the first year he wanted to get married, but shit, I couldn't. I was still legally married. So I didn't.
Hold me down, POP.
But, you know, we went through those trials together, and I was like, dang, you know, legally I was still married going through divorce, but I wasn't ready. You know, I was like, dang, in the first year he wanted to get married, and I was like, I ain't ready for that. You know, like, even if I wasn't married, I wasn't ready, you know, because it was like, dang, I'm taking on all these responsibilities. I have all of these people depending on me now. I gotta show up for just not him, but for his kids too, and my kids. So it's definitely a task where you gotta like put some things in order. I definitely feel like a lot of people are ready to date within the first get married within the first year and the second year. I think 2 years is a great amount of time to get to know a person, to experience some trials with them, experience how do they handle hardship. You want to know how do they handle financial crisis.
Because that's the break that'll make or break you right there,
baby. Financial crisis, I'm in the room under the covers.
Listen, if you
I don't want to deal with nothing,
if you can't learn how to make, like, if you don't know how to make money outside of a specific 9-to-5, Then here's the thing. There's no judgment, right? Because you only know what you know.
Yeah.
Right? But are you open to learning, though, right? And I think this becomes the challenge, too, because what's going to happen when you get married is y'all are going to grow. Y'all going to grow. Well, the hope is that y'all will grow, but one person going to grow more than the other.
I do agree there. I can only talk about my experience, Lord Jesus. coming into a relationship with someone who's experienced is amazing. When they're teaching you things is amazing. I gotta be honest, I was young and I was so fearful. Like, all I knew was working. Like, I go in, I clock in, I know for a fact every 2 weeks I got this check. I know for a fact every 2 weeks my kids got health care, it's covered. Like, I wanted to be safe. And any dream I would think of, anything I would think of, he would support it. He would. Like, he'd be like, do it. And I'd be like, this motherfucker crazy. Like, I ain't about to quit my job.
Okay, Beyonce.
You know what I mean? Like, I would be like, okay. Like, anything I would think of doing, he'd be like, yeah, do it. Do it. You can do it. Go for it. And he would definitely motivate me. And so it was great. That was it, in that period of time, it was great. But like, I was working, I was going to school. And so it was like, I don't have to, like, he crazy. I don't have time. When am I going to fit that in? I'm already not meeting somebody's
criteria,
expectations or whatever it is that he wants. But like, now you pushing me to do something else that's going to take me out of the home a lot more. So I wasn't prepared, but I was definitely fearful. And my biggest fear was failure. So you have a lot of people who, when they are thinking about doing, making money outside of the home and investing and doing things, we fear failure. We fear it. What if it don't work out? Now I'm invested, and now I've taken money from my family, or, you know, to invest in this, and that's something that I could have had to feed my kids, or whatever that situation is. I'm a fearful person. Is it healthy? It probably isn't. But at the same time, like, my brain needs to make sense for me. Okay, how does this work? When am I gonna see the ROI? I need to know that because before I put anything out, because I got this baby I gotta take care of. At the time, we had 4 kids. We hadn't even had the baby. So at the time we had 4 kids, and I'm like, I'm not taking money out of this house. We got 4 kids. We got to buy school stuff. We got to pay for books. We got to pay for all of these things. So that fear would come over me. Like, I can't not have what I need for them to invest in this right here. Like, that's not going to happen. You know, and then he would be like, why not? And my thing is like, I need to make sure the kids are taken care of. I need to make sure our house is taken care of. Like, I don't want to be that one to pull it out and then it don't work out, because I would always think negative, and a lot of people do. We think negative about any situation. We're like, oh my gosh, we think the worst.
Like, that's new, right? That's new, right?
Yeah.
So I agree. I agree. So there's definitely no judgment there for me. If I was to date, I'm not dating. I'm just going to put that out there. Let it linger because it's yes. there. I'm not dating. But if I was to be dating, I would want to know how open you would be to getting the information.
Absolutely.
And then slowly but surely practicing the implementation. Because if it's a two-person thing, mm-hmm. and we really in this, I'm going to have your back.
Absolutely.
Like your yeah. boy had your back. Do
back.
It. I don't care what you want to do. Do it. Do one thing different.
I think one of the biggest thing is knowing that if I fall, like, you got me. And so knowing that, I think that'll make it all the while. I'm not saying that he ain't have me, but it was like, I ain't know. You know, I don't know. But I don't want to be solely dependent because I was raised to be independent. You know, I was raised to not depend, to know that, hey, this is your situation. You got to take care of it. And so my thing was, I never wanted to fail, even in the relationship. I never wanted him to see me fail. So
that's good.
You know what I mean? Like, that's I didn't good. Want him to see me fail because I didn't know what that response would look like from him. Even though, like, he was pushing me to do it.
Mm-hmm.
He was pushing me into whatever the opportunity was that I wanted to do. I didn't want him to see me fail. Mm-hmm. And maybe it was like me trying to, like, save face. But it's like, if I don't do it, I'm not going to fail at it. Mm-hmm. If I don't do it, I'm not going to fail. And so I can't speak for everyone, but just like me, it was definitely a hard situation because it's like, I want to do it, but I don't want to fail. And if I do fail, I want to fail in private.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to fail with an audience.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
So
that's good. That's good. That's good. I think that's an excellent point. Because I've seen that in extremes in our society today when it comes to dating, is that people are either overly dependent or overly independent. Mm-hmm. But don't nobody know how to be interdependent,
uh-huh.
right? They don't know the balance of being dependent and being independent. Like, there are certain aspects of your life that you can be independent in, mm-hmm. and there's certain aspects of your life that you can be dependent in. But you gotta know the difference between which aspects in your life you have to be more dependent in
Absolutely.
Than being more independent. And I think that's what weighs a lot of people down, especially people who grew up like you, is that they get that anxiousness and they have that anxiety because it's like, do it yourself, do it yourself, do it yourself, do it yourself.
Absolutely. And we feel that because when you grow up, like growing up in my situation, I grew up in a slightly two-parent household, but my mom couldn't depend on my stepdad. You know, like, he was there, and it was like, it wasn't continuous. She couldn't continue to depend on him. It was sometimes you're good, sometimes you couldn't. And I never wanted that for my life. And so I feel like, especially being, like, the oldest girl, you grow up taking care of everything. And I could remember so many times my mom telling me, don't depend on a man for nothing. Don't depend on a man for nothing. Don't. So it's like, I feel like that was like drilled into me. Don't depend. Don't depend. And so when you come into a situation where you need to, it's hard. Mm-hmm. Like when I tell you it's hard, I ain't giving it up. I let go of my cape. I got it. You know, I don't care what's happening. I'm drowning with my cape. Don't mm-hmm. grab it. And so it's very difficult to release that and to allow your partner to come in and play their role. Even if, like, you know they're going to be there. You know they're going to do it. It's so hard because you've grown up knowing you were raised to be independent. Mm-hmm. You're raised. And, like, I could hear my mom, don't depend on a man for nothing. Don't let them. Don't, because you can't, don't let your right hand or your left hand doing this, and that. And so it makes it hard for you to release that and allow your partner to come in and be your savior mm-hmm. and to help you when you are falling. You don't even want them to see you fall because you feel embarrassed.
Mm. So I think that leans more into the conversation of what does intimacy look like, right? Because we mm-hmm. have this notion that intimacy is pound town, right? But intimacy. Intimacy. We real-life parents, y'all. We got kids. Intimacy is more than being physical.
Absolutely. Oh, we could do a whole. Listen, I can talk forever about intimacy. I definitely think intimacy is definitely way more than pound town. I think for women, intimacy is like how you talk to me.
Mom, thank you for an hour.
How you show up for me. Like, intimacy for us is cuddling on the couch, watching a movie, talking, conversation. Intimacy for
she give me y'all game, fellas. Like, she give me y'all game, fellas.
It's mental. You know what I mean? And it's like a lot of times guys don't even understand, like, we have a moment. Like, you my least favorite person today. We ain't going to pound town tonight, baby. You better believe it. You better believe it. But the thing is, like, what do you do? It's how you talk to me all day. You gotta warm me up. I'm like an oven, baby. You can't just put that cake in and think it's gonna be cooked. You better warm that oven first. And it's not about, like, I don't need you rubbing on me and doing all of that, but it's talk to me. Talk nice to me. Baby, wash them dishes. Baby. Yes. Yes, stir up them green beans. Yes.
Or stir the dishwasher for those of us who are.
Start the dishwasher. Make a meal. Talk to me. And when I'm telling you about my day, be in tune with it. Mm-hmm. You know, if you ask me about my day, but you don't have to always ask me about my day. Let's talk on an intimate level. Let's have a conversation. I need my mind stimulated before my body don't ever react. Mm-hmm. I can't speak for all women, because some, like, they can start up. Maybe I can't. I'm sorry, I'm old school. I can't start up like a lawnmower. You can't just. I'm not a microwave. But sometimes we need a little bit more. Men, it don't take, some men, it don't, most men, I'm sorry, I'm gonna say some, it don't take a whole lot for them to get there. But for their woman, especially if she work outside the house, she needs a little bit more. She need to feel heard. She needs to feel cared for. She needs her love languages met. And I'm sorry, I'm not a one love language woman. I'm an all five, baby. I need all five of them. You know, talk to me nice.
But this is I really like this conversation, because there's so many dynamics that we can touch on this, because then we get into, once you do begin to develop that friendship and y'all are stepping towards, like, building an actual intimate relationship, love me in my love language. Don't love me in your love language. Love me in my love language.
So you said something there. I'm guilty. I'm guilty. See, I'm an all five love language type of person. And so I try to do the other things instead of exactly what it is, what that love language is. So if your love language is acts of service, I ain't up for a BJ right now, but I'm gonna rub your feet. I'm gonna fold these clothes. I'm gonna run you a bath, you know? But at the same time, I have to do those things. You know what I mean? Because my mind is like, oh, this would be nice. And that's how people operate. People operate like, oh, because they think about their love language and what they think is nice for them. So, and it's not intentionally not to do what their partner wants. It's like, oh, I think this is a kind gesture. This is nice. I want to do this for my person because I want my person to do it for me too. So a lot of the times we're doing it because we know, like, it's something that we like too, and we think it would be a kind gesture, not looking at the whole picture of, like, this ain't even my partner's love language. My partner only got one. Mm-hmm. He just give a BJ and he's fine. Mm-hmm. But today is not the BJ day.
But I can honestly say that a lot of the experiences that I've had with dating have not panned out, because I know that my love language is time spent.
Okay.
Right? So if I am being intentional about spending time with you, mm-hmm. I don't care if we walk into the grocery store, I don't care if you at the laundromat and I just come and sit and talk to you. If I'm being intentional,
yeah.
For me, I'm showing you, then it goes back to the statement of, a woman will treat you how she wants to be treated first, and then she'll treat you how you're treating
how you
her.
Treat her, absolutely.
Right?
Ooh, baby.
If I pull up on you, pull up on me. If I pull up on you, right? But I know that your love language is gifts of affection.
Yeah.
and you like, I can only think about chocolate covered strawberries right now, and you like, I don't know, you got a weird charcuterie board fetish, right? Or you like vine and barley or something, you know what I'm saying? I'm gonna pull up on you, but I'm gonna have that gift card in the hand, I'm gonna have your love language too, but I'm showing you how I love. So you bringing me a gift, I'm not gonna be a that's not gonna do anything for me. I would appreciate it. It's a kind gesture, but it doesn't, it's not to the magnitude of if you came over here and we just watched the movie for the rest of the night. Like, we ain't have to go out and be around people. Speaking of, sometimes I get overstimulated and I don't want to be around people. I have moments where I don't want to be around anybody, not even the person that I'm dating.
Okay.
Because I'm so overstimulated by everything that is happening right now. I just need time to think. I need time to regroup. I need time to calm this nervous system down.
And your person might take offense.
But that's, and that's the problem though. Because what about our experiences? What about our experiences? Now, because now we get ready to delve into something else of how you can only bring the experiences that you've had into what you are trying to experience now. And you can only use that as the rubric or the gauge for what your experience will be if you are not open to letting this be a new experience.
Not so much as that, because your person could suffer or have an issue with abandonment. And to them, that could show up like abandonment.
So it could be a trigger for them.
It could be a trigger, absolutely. And even though you do the work, you still have your triggers. You still have things like, okay, I remember when this happened. So what does that communication look like
to your
person to say, like, hey, when I have these moments, if I'm overstimulated, even though this is my love language, this is what I need.
Yeah, so it's, I believe that it could really just be a simple conversation. Mm-hmm. It don't gotta be, oh, you always doing this, you always do this. It don't gotta be all that. Right. Who you got over there? It's not. It's me. It's just me. It's just me. And I'm not gonna tell you to pull up because it's just me. I don't care if you believe it or not. It's just me, okay?
Right on that balcony. Who you got in there? I see it.
But I think that is really just a simple conversation of, hey, when you do this, I feel like this.
Absolutely.
And if that is explained, when you are by yourself or when you have moments where you're to yourself, I feel like you're rejecting me. So, okay, then come over, but don't say anything.
Yeah.
Okay? Because I done already told you, I'm overstimulated. I don't feel like none of it today. I don't want to hear none of that. None of it today.
We called you.
Okay.
But I'm over.
Not right now, no.
I'm overstimulated.
Put those headphones back on.
I'm overstimulated and I need a moment. And I don't think that, like, I'm not saying that I'm gonna disappear for like 5 days, but I think there's even safety in that, taking moments to yourself. You have to still be able to learn how to do that. And it's so funny because I had an experience where somebody wanted to date me and they were like, well, you going out with your friends, but so you don't want me to go? And I was like, no, we just spent all this time together. No, you're not going. Right? And I didn't say it like mean like that, but I was like, no, you're not going because I still need space for myself. I still need spaces where I'm just Ash hanging out. No expectation of the girlfriend, the mom, whatever other role comes into play. I just need those moments too. And I expect for you to take those moments too. So I would not get to a point where I'd be like, oh, you going out with your friend now. There's balance in that. Cause you don't be trying to be slick now. And now you always out with your friends. And oh, I need space. Cause if you need space, I'm gonna give you that space.
Yeah.
Right? But in order for it for me to be for there to be a maintenance of the balance, I still need space to myself, with myself, to just be myself.
Now, how soon is too soon to have a conversation like that within the relationship to say, like, there's times that I'm gonna need space by myself? Sometimes, you know, when I've been out and when I'm around people a lot, I get overly stimulated. How do you communicate that to your partner so that way they don't take it as abandonment, or they don't take it as like, man, what did I do? Thinking they did something wrong, and now you're not wanting to be around them. Like, what does that look like?
So for me, it's a little bit different because I'm an entertainer, right?
Okay.
So I am all, like, I just straight up, I don't even wait. Like that first, before the week is out, okay, we gonna have that conversation. And it's because there's a difference between what you say and what you do.
Okay.
Right? So I could tell you, hey, I get overstimulated. You know, when I get overstimulated, I could tell you. But when you see it in action, mm-hmm. that's when it's like, oh, how am I supposed to respond to this? Well, I already told you how to respond to it, right? Okay. I already told you, hey, when I'm overstimulated, I need this amount of time. Okay. Like, I need, okay, you got to give me 2 hours. I like to say, come up with a code word, right? Kevin Hart said pineapples, right? Pineapples, right? Pineapples, I wasn't ready, start it over, okay? But I like to say, come up with a code word, and if you don't have words, so I like to safeguard that. We either have a word or an emoji, because sometimes you don't have words. Okay. You just send an emoji. If you send this emoji to me, I know that you need 2 hours. So within that 2 hours, I'm giving you your space. After that, I'm hitting you up. You still need time, or are you? You know what I'm saying? Okay. Are you good? Right?
Okay.
I think really what happens is that it really comes down to going back to building that friendship. Because when you build that friendship, you begin to get to know your person.
Yes.
And the only way to know if somebody's being genuine with you, mm-hmm. because we all have intuition. I believe that men have intuition too. Women's intuition are much stronger, but I believe that men have intuition too.
Where did it come from?
Pound Town. I'm just playing.
You know what? They probably do. They get like gut feelings.
Yeah.
Too,
yeah. Everybody gets gut feelings. Man. But the only way to know that if someone's being genuine is you have to, I always say you have to try it and test it out. Try it and test it out. If you really out here scamming, scheming, doing all these things, it's going to come to the light. I don't got to be on your heels and going through your phone. It's going to come. Everything that's in the dark going to come to the light.
You right.
And if we legitimately build it and I'm legitimately getting to know you, I'm going to know when you lying. I'm watching your facial expressions. You like, I tell people, I'm like, mm-hmm, you communicate. When you get mad, your left eyebrow lift up, you curl your lip a little bit, and then you lean back. You lean that little shoulder and that head back. Uh-huh. You didn't think I was paying attention because I never said anything about it. Mm-hmm. But I know when that language starts happening, you don't agree with what I'm saying. You don't, like, but this all comes with another topic that we talk, being aware of yourself. Because the more that you're aware of yourself, you understand how somebody else is showing up too. Mm-hmm. You're giving them space and grace, but you also understand how they are showing up in the world. The more that you're aware of yourself.
Okay. I agree with that. I think I'm a person that my face always show what I think. Baby, I can't hide it. Thank God for COVID and the mask. But I can say, like, my partner knows, like, if I don't agree with something, he can definitely read me. I could be trying to say, like, oh, yeah, I'm good. You're like, no, you ain't. You're not. But the thing is, sometimes you just agree because you don't want to go
ruffle
back and
feathers.
Forth.
Yeah, agree to get along?
We can agree to disagree and just, like, go with it. But it's not always the best.
No, because I ain't even agreeing to get along. I'd be like, well, I think we should talk about that. And this is where communication comes in, mm-hmm. right? Because there have been times that I have had to have hard conversations. And I'm like, one, I always approach it from the aspect of building down a person's defenses. Because the moment that you get defensive, you stop hearing everything that I'm saying, right?
Yes.
So for me, it's like, well, you know, how would you feel if X, Y, and Z happened? You know, or let me put it into context for you. This experience happened to me, and I tell them what the experience was, and I'll say, so because of the experience that we had, it made me remember that. And so now I'm trying to process my feelings of if you are going to be like this person or if we're going to actually have a different experience.
Okay.
And I don't know what that looks like right now, but let's talk about it.
Absolutely. Another thing is just taking things so personal.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the times we take things personal, how a person is behaving or responding. And knowing that it could be triggering them for something else that they've experienced, or a facial expression or a gesture, you know, like, okay, yeah, you ain't feeling it right now. You're not feeling what I said. You don't totally agree. So let's talk about that. Let's unpack that. But I definitely think that me being guilty, because I will agree. And I'm like, yeah. And then I'm going to bring it up later, because I don't want to talk about it right now. I want to give you that space to say what you need to say and feel how you need to feel and not make it about me. But hey, you know, you said something. I ain't totally agree with that. Let's talk about it. Because I feel sometimes and when people are in their feelings, it don't matter what you say.
Mm-hmm.
When you disagree, it's an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Because everyone doesn't show up or respond the way you do. It doesn't matter how you say it. You can say it the nicest way. But because it's so personal, they can take it, you know, differently, take it the wrong way, or whatever word we want to call it, honey. My words ain't there, because, honey, I had a bit much.
No, it's okay. I think, but, so what I'm learning to teach my son is, when I know something's wrong with him and he's like, no, it's fine, I'm like, don't tell me it's fine. Tell me that you don't want to talk about it right now.
Yes.
Because it's not fine.
I'm doing that too with him, because I can't, like, because the problem is I'm fine person.
And you're not.
And I'm not fine, but I'm fine. Don't worry about it. It's okay. Don't worry about it. And a lot of times, and we have to read people too. How you say you read your people. Sometimes it's not the appropriate time mm-hmm. to have the conversation. So you get the, I'm fine. It's okay. I'm okay. And, you know, instead of saying, let's talk about it later.
Well, see, I just say, I'm still trying to understand and process my feelings. But when I get there, we can talk about it. But right now, I still need time to figure out how I really feel about this.
So I'm fine. I'm fine, goddammit. It's not the best way. But I agree that sometimes we, just a little bit more words could definitely make our person, our significant other, our husband, our wife, feel better. Mm-hmm. And know that, hey, I'm not trying to, like, go around the conversation. I'm not trying to not honor your feelings or anything like that, but I do feel a certain type of way. But I'm not up for a conversation about that right now. I'm still processing it. Sometimes communication, we don't have the best communication in relationships. I'll be honest, once you go to Pound Town, that messes up communication.
Absolutely.
When you are friends, you talk the best. You have the best conversations. You have the best understanding. The moment you go to Pound Town, baby, honey, it's hard. It's hard because it's now you got these feelings and you got this happening and that happening.
I just think that I think that people have to stop looking at that as being passive aggressive. First of all, I think that people just have to get educated on communication, period, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because if I'm coming to you and I'm saying, I don't really know how I feel right now, like I need a little bit more time,
yeah.
It's not passive or aggressive because I don't know how I feel.
Right.
So I don't, what do you want me to, I don't have anything else to say. I said what I said. That's it. It's there. And let's put a placeholder here and come back to it. Let's table this conversation and come back to it.
I think people have a hard time respecting that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, you don't know how you feel, so now we're gonna make an argument out of it because you should feel this way. It's a matter of hearing the person, understanding, like, okay, you're not in the space where you wanna have this conversation. Let me give you some time to think about it. Let me give you some time to ponder it. Because that is the word. Girl, mommy, I'm laughing about something else. Ponder how you feel about it and think about it and give you that space to reflect.
Mm-hmm.
We don't do that because we take everything personally as people, as your partner. We take it personal, like, oh, you just don't want to talk to me. You just want to tell me. And then that means you're up to something and it's this and that. And we take it the wrong way and now you're having an unnecessary argument, which goes back to the initial communication, the initial conversation, and setting down those, like, conversation ground rules.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we all need a talking stick something.
I've been fortunate enough to have some experiences that were good in this department where I would be like, well, the conversation that you're having in your head is not the conversation that we're having right now. What I am saying to you, right? Because what I'm saying to you right now is that you are welcome in my space. I don't want you to go anywhere. That might not be what you're feeling, but what I'm telling you is I don't want you to go anywhere. That's Ooh. Not like the conversation that you're having in your head yeah. with yourself about whatever is unresolved with your feelings. That's your conversation. Our conversation right now is completely different. You see how you're laughing, right? And it's like, okay, I'm guilty of that, right? Because because when you can pose it like that, it becomes easier to be like, you know what? I really am yeah, tripping. Like, I need to get out of my head a little bit. You're right. You're
absolutely.
Right.
That's why I'm laughing, girl. Because I've done it so many different ways. And it's like, it's not until afterwards, like, dang, I could have handled that differently. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, I wish I would have said this. I wish I had this comeback. You know? But it's like, it's when you're in the moment, you know, we like, I'm guilty. I'm so guilty of taking it personally. I'm so guilty of saying, like, babe, what's wrong? You okay? It's like, nothing wrong. Nah, something's wrong. Because why you talking to me that way? Why you answer like this? Or why your eyebrow went up like that? But at the same time, it's like, we gotta respect the space, you know? And I'm still learning. I'm growing and I'm learning, like, dang, you know what? I'm guilty of all of this.
But so this is how I'm learning to like really free myself. And this is why I really think I'm getting to the point of not I'm getting to the point. This is why I'm not dating. Because I'd be like, I ain't finna worry about that. I can't eat. That's not me.
Yeah.
That is absolutely you. Whatever you got going on, you don't want to communicate it. That's fine. But baby, I'm not finna give you that energy.
Yeah.
I'm not fueling anything that's going on there. If you want to sit down and talk and have a conversation, that's absolutely fine. Other than that, mm-hmm. no ma'am, no sir.
I'm with you. And I'm all for talking. I'm all for, like, I'm not an arguing type of person. I've never been, but baby, I will. So I said, I'm guilty. I can admit it. I will. But I'm working on it. I'm God. Jesus ain't done with me yet. But at the same time, like I said, I'm guilty of all of these things in my relationship. I'm guilty. And it's like, okay, now I'm learning. And it's like afterwards, like, dang, it ain't have to be like that. Or I wish I would have said this, or I wish I would have handled it this way. And it's because we don't have the tools. Mm-hmm. In the moment, you don't have the tools. I mean, I have the tools now, but dang, I wish I had these tools 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. Or 6 years ago, mm-hmm. or 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. I wish I had all of these tools because those unrealistic expectations, I could have identified them and I could have said, you know what? No, I'm not going to do that. Mm-hmm. Oh, I can't do that because I have this, 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 and that. Let's come to a happy medium mm-hmm. or in arguments that didn't need to be arguments, mm-hmm. be able to just like effectively communicate. our people, especially, we do not effectively communicate mm-hmm. because our moms raise daughters to be independent. Moms raise sons to be dependent. And it's so unfair. And so what happens when they get into different relationships, we're not teaching our kids how to effectively communicate. I learned how to effectively communicate as an adult. Even in my 30s, I could not express my feelings. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's difficult, like, to be in a marriage and you can't talk about how you feel for fear of how the other person's gonna respond, or if you say this but mean this, you know, like how to identify these emotions and just talk about it because you want to talk about it. Like, I feel this because this, whatever that, name it. And I'm like, name that emotion, because that is what I'm doing with my baby. Name it, baby, give it a name. You know, I'm like, I want him to grow knowing how to express his emotions. Our men are not allowed because they're men, you know, they get hurt when they're kids, brush it off and stop that crying. No, they're in pain. They need to have that moment to cry about it. They're in pain. Move. Okay, now let's fix it. Let's move forward. We're not teaching them that. We're just teaching them to dust it off. And then we're teaching our girls, you don't need a man for anything. So it makes it very difficult to have that balance. It makes it difficult for them to come together and to have happy relationships where they can effectively communicate with each other, talk about feelings, talk about expectations, talk about goals, and how we're going to build each other up. We're so busy tearing each other down, and it falls into dating, girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever it is, marriage, relationships, to where when hardship comes, it's I don't need you, I don't need you. and we all going about our separate ways, mm-hmm. it makes it very difficult because we don't know. We don't have the tools. It's like, imagine if we had these tools. And I think about this all the time, like, tools that I have now, and I'm almost 40. Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, I'm almost 40.
All right, don't go midlife crisis in on me.
But if I had these tools as a child, mm-hmm. how much further could I be as an adult? Mm-hmm. What about the choices I would have made? Mm-hmm. I definitely believe I would have made different choices than men. Mm-hmm. Lord, I mm-hmm. would have in partners. Yes, baby. And I would have seen red flags coming a mile away mm-hmm. and would not have entertained them, but I seen them flags and I was like, come on, I'm up for the challenge.
Mm-hmm. I can change you.
Yeah, I got
you. Or you'll
this.
Get better.
Yeah, you'll get better.
You'll see that I'm a good potential. Enough person.
Mm-hmm. That's another, one. Dating potential, baby. It's like, yeah, it'll get better. He likes me.
But it goes back to that conversation about, like, when I said if you didn't know how to make money outside of your 9 to 5. So if you're not even tapping anything past mm-hmm. what's normal to even start to try and reach your potential, you could be for somebody else, but it wouldn't work for me because I have such a, like, I used to have a hustler mentality. Now it's an entrepreneur. It's an entrepreneur mentality. But because there's just so many things that you can do to develop yourself, mm-hmm. to start to touch and even walk into that potential, that it's like, if I see that you're stopping yourself, why would I not believe that you would try and stop me?
Absolutely. But keep in mind, everybody don't have a hustler's mentality. Everyone don't have that mentality of doing something outside of their 9 to 5. Mm-hmm. People go to school for something, right? They go to school, they go to college, and I get this degree to do this. If I get this degree, I want to be a doctor. What else can I do outside of my 9 to 5? I'm a damn doctor. And I'm not working 9 to 5. I'm working probably 12 hours a day. So you may have some people that they went to school for this specific thing, and they are actually doing this specific thing. So, like, where does that fit? Mm-hmm. If they are not, like, doing anything outside, they may not. What if they don't want to do anything outside? Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, I make 6 figures, I'm good.
Mm-hmm. Like, right, I don't have to try. Right,
I don't want to do anything else. Mm-hmm. You know,
and I've met people like that, and I would definitely say that it just never, like, we could just never click because, and this might be a little pompous on my end, but I could never accept that for them. Like, yo, okay. Why are you? What are you? Are you?
I work hard enough.
Are you taking
day.
What? What happened? I'm trying to be nice. Like, why would you settle?
It may not be settling though for them. It's like, hey, this is what I want to do. This was my dream. Mm-hmm. This is what, when I was in fifth grade, I decided this is what I'm going to do with my life. And I am doing that thing and I'm living well.
Now that's different. That's different. That's different because I know that there are people.
No,
because I'm talking about people who are working jobs that they are not happy with.
Okay, I can get that. So, if you're working a job that you're not happy with, you find a job that you're gonna be happy with. Sometimes
it may not be a job though. That's what I'm saying. And so, like,
it could be a outside.
It could be something that you create. It could be, well, I guess everything in essence would eventually become a quote unquote job. But it wouldn't look like 9 to 5.
Okay. I don't know, because I feel like COVID created, Lord, y'all don't get me. I feel like COVID created space for so many people to tap into the thing that they love, mm-hmm. their talents. Mm-hmm. I am untalented. I am not a person. I am not of many talents, baby. I am not. So, like, I love that for them, that, like, and I've supported many different small businesses that are, even if I don't really want it, I'm like, oh, this is cute. I'm not gonna do anything with it. I buy it. Even if it's a download, I buy it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like giving back. But COVID created, I feel like COVID created opportunity, mm-hmm. where everyone that had a talent was able to come out, sit home and like hone in on that talent, cultivate it, make it beautiful, and present it to the world and sell it online mm-hmm. without clocking in. Mm-hmm. So if they didn't do that, I don't know.
Right. Nobody would know the potential.
Nobody right? would know it.
Just and our economy, in essence, it really did boom. It really did thrive did, yeah. during the coronavirus. Mm-hmm. And it goes to when you are looking to date, just knowing yourself well enough, right?
Yeah. Ooh.
And I am just at that point where I've been doing the work, and now I know that like I got to go deeper so I can communicate that to people, right? Mm-hmm. And I can say like, you know, I've been doing this work, but I know I got to go deeper, you know. I'm sitting with myself and doing this, or I've been doing this type of work, you know, so I can communicate that. But a lot of people are not doing that work, and it becomes harder at different points, which is why at the beginning of the recording, I said, like, I don't even know how you talk to me when you're feeling anxious. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how you support, like, all these things come into play because I know myself.
Yeah. I'm going to say this. And this is something I say, and Nicki Minaj said it too, baby.
The great philosopher.
Yes. Like, you want a relationship where your person still, like, kiss you when they're mad. Nicki Minaj, babe, kiss me when you're mad at me. Don't, like, I need to know how you deal with conflict. Just because we are not seeing the eye to eye, or you are my least favorite person today, don't stop loving me. Mm-hmm. Don't stop showing up for me. Because we're going to talk about it, we're going to move forward. A lot of relationships don't survive because one person's mad and one person's like, well, you mad, so now I'm going to be mad.
So what happens when you get shut out? If you try and continually love your person even though you're mad at them, what happens when they shut you out?
I think it's time for a conversation. It's like, where are we here? This is where we're at. What is the expectation? What do you see coming out of this? And a lot of relationships fail because there is no communication. Mm-hmm. And sometimes there may not be communication and you may have to walk away. But at the end of the day, what have you done? What have you done to make sure that this relationship survives this storm? Mm-hmm. Because there's another storm ahead.
Yes, Lord.
And so...
it's a couple of them.
The great thing about relationships is when you cultivate the relationship and when you build the foundation of the relationship, you can weather any storm. You have to have the foundation, and when you don't, you better believe when that storm comes, it's going to be like a hurricane and everything is going to be destroyed. And you're not going to be able to pick up the pieces and keep it going. So you have to have the foundation. Communication is the best thing for relationship. It's the only way a relationship is going to survive.
I guess this is like my mommyhood kicking in here, but I guess it's equivalent to the three little pigs and how they built their houses.
Yes.
When the big bad wolf came huffing and puffing, he was able to blow houses down that weren't built strong enough.
They didn't have the foundation. They weren't built. And so at the end of the day, I feel like any relationship, and it may be to the point where you come together and say, you know what, this is not working for either of us. Mm-hmm. But you can still have that conversation and not be spiteful and nasty and ugly. Or you're able to weather the storm and rebuild and keep it going. But if you don't have communication, because communication is a foundation. It's a part of the foundation of a relationship, of any relationship. And you should be able to go to your person and talk about anything. Because I feel like friendships are so solid. It should be solid when it's going to nurture into a relationship, and that you should be able, that should be your best friend. Like, a lot of relationships have best friends outside of relationships, but the partner is supposed to be your best friend. You're supposed to be able to go to your partner and talk to your partner about anything. Like, that's supposed to be your person.
Well, I have a difference in opinion. I do. I'm trying to think of how to pose it, right? I have a difference in opinion. Like, I think that even though you talk to your partner about everything, mm-hmm. I think there still has to be boundaries in some of the things that you talk to your partner about. So, for example, the conversation that I have with my therapist, I'm not having with my partner. right? So
okay, yes, I can understand anyone.
Right, but I can say, you know, I'm feeling X, Y, and Z, but that's a conversation for my therapist. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't want to overwhelm you with this. Or I'm feeling like X, Y, and Z, but that's a conversation for my mentor. Because I don't want you to feel like you have to, you know what I'm saying? Like, I would love to hear your feedback. And at the end of the day, I have to get feedback from somebody who is, like, the purpose is to pull me up, to get me into that position. Okay. Right? So that way, I don't make you be that end all, be all.
Right.
And I feel like for me, that still goes back to that that portion of leaving space for myself. Like,
okay,
we can talk about everything, but there will be boundaries about around some of the things that we talk about, because I would like to go more in depth with somebody else that I'm leaving space and like space the proper for. Space so that you're not overwhelmed and so that you don't feel like you got to solve all my problems.
Right. Well, your partner's not there to solve your problems.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, your partner's there for you can bounce ideas off. You can say, hey, what do you think about this? Or, hey, this is what I got going on. I'm going to talk to such and such about. And sometimes they can give you a different insight because they might be in a situation with you. You know, I'm not saying that your partner has to be your end all be all, but like, I feel like your partner should be your best friend because you build a relationship with that person. You build a friendship before you build a romantic relationship.
Well, you should be.
Well, it should be. I don't know. Everybody be going to Pound Town so quick.
Listen.
I'm guilty.
Hey, I ain't gonna count. Listen.
Listen.
Look, oh Lord Jesus. All my relationships done went to Pound Town.
I gotta be honest. But again, I definitely think like your partner is a person. You know, like, that's your person. That's who you go to. That's who you talk to. And a lot of times, they may not have the capacity. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? To solve your problems. And a lot of times, you're not going to them to solve your problems. You're saying, hey, this is what I'm thinking. What you think about this? If you don't think anything, that's okay, too. But because you have a therapist and you have a mentor, you have these people that are set up in these designated areas to help you with said issues, that's fine as well. But you still have your partner to have those conversations with.
But I think that's a reasonable expectation, right?
Right.
Is that your partner is your person.
It's your
right?
person, yeah.
And you can bounce ideas off of them, but they don't necessarily, they shouldn't be the ones that are like, I don't want to say dictating or determining, but like to your point, if you have an idea, that's cool. If you don't have an idea, that's cool.
Right.
But I think this is where people are unrealistic in their expectations. Like, well, I'm trying to talk to you about it and you don't have anything to say.
But they may not.
Because I ain't got nothing to say.
But they may not. And the thing is, because there's that expectation. Some people have that expectation of my partner is going to be my end all be all. Mm-hmm. This is who solves all my problems. Well, you're not looking for them to solve your problem because that is not what they're there for. I know they say men are fixers. But at the same time, they can't fix everything, you know. And if it's something you want them to fix, so I would say years ago when we started establishing communication rules in our relationship, or not really like rules, or I don't know what word to call it. I don't know. Strategies. Let's say strategies. One of the things was like if I wanted to talk and I just wanted to vent, he would say, just tell me you just want me to listen. If you want my opinion, ask for my opinion. But if you just want, and I like that. I like that, but did I take advantage of it? Hell no. I should have, but honestly, like, it would be times in our, even this January, we had a conversation about it. He's, you know, I'm like, I don't want you to solve my problems. I just want to say what I need to say. You know, and a lot of the times, you just want to say it. You just want to say whatever it is, and just get it out there. I'm not looking for you to fix it. I don't need you to fix it. I don't need you to fix me. I don't need you to fix whatever the problem is, because ideally, when a woman brings an issue to a man, he wants to fix it.
I'm gonna tell you something that one of my mentors told me, girl, before I even had Caleb.
We need another battle.
Before I even had Caleb, and I didn't really recognize it until I started like really doing the work on myself. She said, "You practice for the relationship that you want with the relationships that you have now."
Holy shit,
girl. Hit me like a morning sun, shining through my black night.
That's not, wow. You know what? Well, I'll be. how they say I'll be a monkey.
Because I just thought about it. Like, even in our friendship, we're practicing now for the relationships that we want. Yeah, we communicate like that. So when I am in an intimate relationship, I'm already used to talking like that. Yes. It's not a front. It's not a facade. It's not my representative. It's really who I am. Because this is how I talk in my regular relationships every day.
Absolutely.
With my child, with my friends, with my parents, with who. This is how I talk.
Just imagine if everybody did that. Listen. I had to put my cheese down. Just imagine, like, man, if everybody was, like, showing up and talking as if they were already in a relationship, the way they normally, like, this was normal for everyone to communicate, express their feelings in a non-aggressive way. Not saying anyone was trying to be aggressive, but people do. Just, like, express yourself. State what your needs are, what your expectations are. And
I think
people to show up and say, like, I can't meet that. Can't do that.
I think there has to there is a level there. And now I will say this: there is a level of safety that your person needs to create for you, though.
Absolutely.
Because if you don't feel like you can come home and say these things to your partner without it being, you know, a crazy response, or without them catching the attitude. I remember one time I tried this. I think you remember. I tried this with somebody I was dating, and the response was, "I'm irritating right now."
I remember that.
Like, I'm not saying you don't deserve it. I'm just saying I'm irritated because I don't feel like giving it to you.
What? And that's not fair.
What did you just say? I was saying,
that's not fucking fair.
Blah, blah, blah. like blah, blah, blah. Blah. And
we both came out Rihanna.
Yeah. I was like, you could never come back over here, because even as a friend, for you to talk to me like that means that you feel that the way that you feel is more important than the way that I feel. And you have expressly communicated that. And those few words that you have just said to me, you will never. I think I read a meme that said, like, the best of revenge is no access to you. You will never have access to me again, ever.
Listen, you know I'm good for it. I'm like... Okay.
D&D, baby.
And it's not like... I believe no access is awesome. Because when you cut off access to a person... Listen, that could be my toxic side pulling up. I don't even know. And I had a lot of I definitely think that sometimes... you have to limit access, mm-hmm. because if not, people come in and then they start like pouring their own issues. Mm-hmm. Jeez, I'm telling you, I had too much wine. I can't even think about the words that I want to say. They start like projecting. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, because they feel like this, or they would feel like this if this conversation was had, however they feel. They project it onto you and try to like alter how you feel. Like, I am expressing this to you, and you telling me I shouldn't feel the way I feel. Mm-hmm. No, I want to say the MF word.
That is, you are absolutely right, because I had a young lady come and tell me in the community. She was like, "Hey, you know, I thought that you didn't like me. You know, when I first met you, I didn't think that you liked me. I thought you had a problem with me."
Ooh.
"Because I felt like you were trying to shut me down and you weren't trying to let me be myself." And my first thought was like, I don't even know you for you to be having this. First of all, don't be pulling me into nobody's office, okay? I didn't ask to be here, right?
I was about to say, what part you said? That's how we're in Gorilla. I didn't even know, because I had to look her up.
But when I sat with it for a minute, I was like, you know what? Regardless of, and not to downplay my feelings, but
yeah.
I can't let what I feel right now trump what she's expressing.
Yeah.
So I said to her, I apologize, because I didn't realize that's how it came across.
Absolutely.
I don't have any issues with you. I didn't even know you. That's why I come to these events, to get to know, right? Right? But it was so weird for me, but it was a beautiful conversation. And actually, like, we developed a very great friendship after that. But I said that because I am learning that even with my son, when he says, like, he has times where he's like, well, I just think that you're mad at me. And I'm like, I'd be like, dog, do you know the amount of things that I am really thinking about right now that have nothing to do with you? Not any, well, they have everything to do with the life that I'm trying to provide for you. It's not you. It's me trying to handle my business to make sure. Right? Right? But again, this goes back to us practicing in our everyday relationships for the intimate relationship that we want to have. So, well, as a single woman, because I know it's different when you marry, you know what I'm saying?
Not so much. Oh, Lord. Not so much because, oh gosh. Lord. Give me the strength. As in, when you're married and you have a partner, it depends on the marriage. I got to say that because every marriage is built different. Everyone is different. But if you have like a partnership, and so I don't want to call it marriage. I want to call it a partnership. When you have a partnership, that person shows up differently than when you just like husband and wife, and like he go out and he work and you doing what you're doing, because there's a very large percentage of marriages where women are leaving. Like, it is crazy. Do I be on a tickety top? Listen, it is crazy. All the women leaving because they're like, listen, if I got to do all this by myself, I'm out. And it's interesting to see that I didn't realize how many marriages are like that. So I wanna hone in on a partnership. When it's a partnership, it looks different. It's cultivated. You have both people coming in, and there's some lovely, again, it's on a tickety top, so I'm just saying, I don't know if it's all truth. I just know what I've been seeing on the video. Where you got the husband that works all day, the wife is a stay-at-home mom, and there's this beautiful family that I watch, and they have, I think, 4 kids, lovely family. The husband works, the mom is a stay-at-home mom, she takes care of all 4 kids, but she does some type of work from home, I don't know exactly what. But the husband still comes home and give her a break. I was like, what the fuck is a break? I was like, that's gotta be lovely. You know, it's gotta be lovely. But that's because she's got a partner that comes home. He recognized, like, okay, you, not only has she been working all day, doing her work from home thing, but she also has their little one. She gets them ready for school. She takes the others to school, the younger ones. She sometimes takes the daycare. She might go to the gym, but she still got to work. She picks the baby up. By the time he comes home, she's got all the kids. He gives her a break. She gets to go do her little
lottie-dottie
fun break time mom thing because she's got a partner. Every man isn't built that way. You know, you got the, and I know it's a big talk about the 50-50. Everybody got an issue with the 50-50. The man got the woman paying 50-50.
Lord. Now let me cut down.
I think that might be a conversation for another.
Because, baby, cause
I
ain't no way.
I'm talking about it all day. And so. But I definitely think that. partnership is so important. I don't care what their gender is. It's got to be a partnership to understand it. Yes, a lot of the times people don't understand. I'm not a stay-at-home mom. I was a stay-at-home mom for 4 years, and I was always exhausted, and I couldn't wait to go back to work because I was so exhausted all day. And I was a stay-at-home mom. Noah was, I stayed home with him till he was 3. So it was hard. But at the same time, when you've got a partner, partnership is so important because you come together, they help you, they relieve you of your stress. They come together, you talk about whatever this issue is, whatever you've got going on, how was your day? It was this, it was that. They come in and they're like, okay, well, even though he worked all day, but he gonna help with the baby. Because you have the baby, not only have you had the baby all day, but you're doing all of these tasks. It's being a stay-at-home mom, it's not easy. Baby, I'd rather punch a clock any day than be a stay-at-home mom. I take my hats off to them stay-at-home moms because they get no break. There's no break. from the time they wake up to the time they go to sleep. So I think partnership is so important. Girl, I'm slurring my words. Lord Jesus.
You fine.
That's just this menage of 500. but definitely, I would give anything to have partnership. And I think it's needed in all relationships. And to understand that there's not a competition. That, hey, I do this, you just pick up my slack. Like how we talked about the percentages when we came in. Talking about percentages. Okay, yes. Even though I've been at home with the baby all day and I've been doing this and dinner's ready and all of this, your laundry's done and all of this stuff, I still need support. Because you come home from a hard day at work and you had a hard day and now you ready for pound town or you ready for a BJ to make your day better. What's going to make my day better? You know, at the end of the day, that foundation we talked about, that communication, that friendship. And then when you have a great friendship with your partner, you can read them, kind of know, because you have that nonverbal communication.
Oh, love.
Baby. Woo. I miss that.
Them nonverbals. Yeah, it definitely goes back to just communicating effectively, you know, not being so personal.
Everything is personal because everyone thinks that it's about them. And I don't want to make it sound negative because if a partner says something, we take it the wrong way because we think it's towards us. That's what I mean, like about them. Like you think like whatever that is towards you. It could be something on the outside of the house. He had a bad day or she had a bad day and something's going on and she's like reacting towards it once she gets home. It's not about you. Give them that moment to have that moment. Don't get upset with them because they are having that moment. And I think that would like help ease a lot of the tension at home and things like that. Allow them to have their space.
I think also though, it goes back to communication because if it's for me, I've seen that this has been a very healthy response. When something is said that like hits me, to the point where it's like it could hurt me and I could like shut down,
yeah,
I'd be like, help me understand what you're trying to say.
Okay.
Because what I hear you saying is X, Y, and Z. But I want to know, is that what you're really saying? Mm. Or is that just me hearing based on my experiences that I've had in the past?
Okay. I can see that can definitely work. That will work. It's just having that person that's willing to, because you have some people that get irritated like, man, I just said what I said. And now you making it about you or you making it about this or you taking it the wrong way. Instead of hearing what you just said as a partner, because we're so wrapped up in our, I'm guilty. We're so wrapped up in our own thing, you know, that we're not hearing that you're just trying to understand. You know, and like communication. Everything goes back to communication. If in the beginning of relationships, if we establish effective communication, even if that means you got a talking stick or a talking wine bottle, whatever. Pass me the bottle, baby. It's my turn. That way, each person knows that when this person has the talking stick or whatever this word is or whatever this thing is, that you are just listening. You are not responding. And we have to unlearn things because we listen to respond. We don't listen to understand.
Mm-hmm. That's good. So it brings me, I don't know why, I can't remember where I learned about this. And if I remember, I'll let you know. But there is this journal. It's like a couple's journal that it sits. So that's when, it's like when you can't verbally talk to your partner, you write in the journal, you put it in your place. So let's say the place is the dining room table. They know that when they see this on the dining room table, they have to read it.
Okay.
They cannot respond for however, whatever amount of time y'all set it for. So it could be 2 hours, it could be a day, but don't let it go past, I think, like 2 days. Your partner is not allowed to respond to what you said. They just have to take it in.
Okay.
They can choose right? They can choose to write a message back and you have to just take in what they say.
Okay.
Or y'all can sit down and have a conversation.
Ooh, I like that. No, I mean, I like it, but I see me writing some words for that. I like that though. I definitely think, because I like the idea of, I like the rule of not responding for 24 hours, because again, you get to sit
that
with it.
Time.
You get to reflect. You get to like take it in and process it and think about what was said. Reread it if need be, and then respond, rather than just, oh motherfucker. I can see me. I'm feisty, baby. I can see me. I'll be like, oh really? oh yeah. But I do like that because it gives you opportunity to kind of maybe internalize what your partner's feeling a little bit, and to kind of like just take it in and try to like feel what they feel. And sometimes when you sleep on it, your response is different. I'm guilty of, no matter what my day is like, if it's terrible, if it's horrible, if I have an argument, I need to sleep on it. Mm-hmm. Like, I will go home and take a nap. Like, I need a nap. I don't care. If I'm home and it happened, I need a nap. Listen. And I take a nap because I know that I am not the nicest with words. And so I have to pull back. I have to, because I know that I have to be mindful with my words. And if I'm pushed and pushed and pushed, I'm definitely not going to be nice. So it's more like, and he knows, like he always says, like, how do you do that? How do you go to sleep and then you wake up and then you're fine? Like, you were ticked off when you went to sleep because I slept on it, literally.
Right, literally. No pun intended.
Like, I slept on it. And so now I can think about it. Like, you know how you look at, how to say, look at it with fresh eyes. Mm-hmm. And it gives me an opportunity to kind of understand a little bit and try to like take it in and not think most of, like, it's about how I feel. But I got to think about the other person, because this information came from the other person. These words came from the other person. Mm-hmm. And to not, I guess, not internalize and make it about myself, but make it about, okay, this is what was said. What do I think is meant by that? And it gives me an opportunity to have different questions. Mm-hmm. Because in the heat of the moment, your questions aren't going to be to understand. Mm-hmm. Your questions are going to be to hurt back. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, your words hurt me. Oh, I got you, baby. Because you have no idea, but I got this arsenal right here. I got a whole lot. I mean, so definitely I love that. I need to find out what that journal is. I think it, now I think it may not just be good for just like partners relationship, it can be
parents and children,
any parents and children, because a lot of the times, Lord, also often you see like parents can't communicate with their kids. Mm-hmm. I think that is a great way to communicate with your children. Like, write down what you feel and then I'll read it and then I'll respond to you. Mm-hmm. And then when I respond, we're not gonna go back and forth now. Mm-hmm. We're not gonna do that. You're gonna say something and I'll respond to you, but then afterwards we're gonna have a conversation. Mm-hmm. By day three, I think we should be talking.
Absolutely. Because but it goes back to like, whether as humans we need processing time.
Yeah.
Whether we are older or younger, we need processing time. Yeah. So the earlier we can teach our children how to have those that processing time, mm-hmm. or how to develop that communication, the better their experiences will be in their relationships, because they like, yo, my own mother don't even talk to me like this.
Yeah.
My brothers and sisters don't talk to me like this. Why would I want you around here being toxic and yelling and doing all this and you can't have a simple conversation?
That's my fear for my boys, to be with a woman who is feisty. I could take a feisty woman, but the aggressive, the physical and the things like that, because,
and let me tell you something,
like, I taught my boys, like, don't hit girls.
Oh Lord.
And so my son though, and I'll tell my, and he won't hit a girl, but I'm gonna be honest, I'm that mama that I'm be like, don't start it, but baby, don't sit there and be battered. Don't be a battered man. Don't, you have a right to defend yourself against anyone. But my son, he's a gentleman, you know, And I fear that he will end up, because he's so, they'd be like, oh, a square. I want to call my baby a square, but
L7.
He's nice. You know what I mean?
Lord Jesus.
He's sweet. He's nice. He's kind. You know, he's got a kind heart. And like, my fear was always because of how my daughter used to handle him. And girl, you know she ain't but this big. But she used to be handling my baby. And I was like, boy, you better stop letting your sister do that. She's the oldest. But she was the smallest. And the thing was, it's like, I fear that he's going to end up with a woman that's going to, like, mishandle him. You know what I mean? We all deal. I ain't worried about heartbreak because we all experience, honey, I experience heartbreak, especially from his daddy, baby. But I definitely think that my fear as a mom when you have boys is like, have I given him all the tools? Mm-hmm. You know, have I given him all the tools to effectively communicate with his partner?
Yeah, because with men, it's different when they go to Pound Town. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, Lord.
I think my baby not been to Pound Town already.
Oh, Lord.
I'm nervous.
Oh, Lord.
My fear is he gonna come and say, she pregnant, mom. I'm like, I don't know what y'all gonna do. Listen, but I'm worried. I worry because I remember his first kind of like heartbreak in high school. And I probably didn't handle it well as a parent. You know, I was like, well, remember that conversation we had about why kids should not date? And I feel like a lot of parents give their kids so much liberty. I'm gonna be honest, I wasn't one of those. My kids ain't have liberty. That's probably why my baby is square. That's probably why. You know, but I didn't give him a lot of liberty because I feel like kids should be so busy that you should have a dog tired. So they should be so tired that they don't have time to get into trouble. But at the same time, like, his first little girlfriend, girl, they broke up. And, like, the next day she was dating one of his friends. And my baby was sad. He was so sad, but I know he really liked her. And then they kind of got back together, and I was like, dude, what the hell? I was like, what do you mean? What do you mean y'all dating again? What do you mean? Yeah. I don't understand. Dude, didn't she just vibe with your friend? Like, help me understand this. Like, did you not see it coming? Do you think that this is an appropriate response to get back with her? You know, and it's because it was like, and I think in that sense, he reminded me a lot of his dad. Like, dang, oh, she liked me. Mm. You know what I mean? I'm like, dude, have you looked at yourself? Mm. Like, you nice. Like, you're very handsome. And you ain't no, you're not a little dude. You know, like, my son is, you seem, mm-hmm. I'm like, dude, you're a nice looking dude. You better take some pride with that walk. What's wrong with you? I raised you. Like, come on. But, like, I'm just saying, as a mom with boys, I don't worry about my daughter. And I know that's probably a weird thing to say. I don't worry about her. I worry about them. You know? And I feel the same with my mom. She didn't worry about me. She knew, like, oh, she's going to be okay. She's going to be good. But maybe we need to worry about our daughters, too. Dude, let me think about that. You know, like, I know my daughter's going to be good. Because she's, like, I guess because when we raise our daughters to be independent. Like, she got, like, the book smarts. She also got the street smarts because she was with me. You know, like, that was my rider right there. That right there. Like, where I was, she was there. And I'm like, hey, my business is my business.
Love. Yes. I be trying to be like, hey.
Hey, bro. She used to be snitching on me, though. But definitely, I think a lot of it starts at home, you know? And it's unfortunately a lot of, and I don't want to blame single moms because it's not single moms. Single moms raise some amazing boys. Mm-hmm. It's not that they're single moms, but a lot of the time when you have moms raising kids, it doesn't matter if they're male or female, especially if we don't have all the tools. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if you're male or female. Like, I believe a woman can't teach a man to be a man.
We can teach
our boys,
I agree,
how to be gentlemen, how to take care of themselves, we can give them all those tools. But if we ourselves don't have all the tools, then it's like we set up for failure. We set them up for failure. Mm-hmm. I know we got some people that we talk about, oh, dads need to be in the homes and this and that. But sometimes those things are beyond our control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Sometimes those things are beyond our control. And I don't want to hear the, oh, pick better, this and that. Because, baby, if he would have came with a side effect like Samora said, you better believe I would have passed him. And Samora said, I wish he would have came with a side effect. Baby. You know, some of these men should come with a side effect. They should. Right next to him, a side effect. He liable to run up your credit, sleep about 4 or 5 years. <girlfriends. laughs>
Yeah, it'd be some stories with these men.
But you don't know. You know what I mean? And I think we do the best we can with what we have. But I just feel like I wish we had more tools to kind of save our sons. There's a show called that, to save our sons. To save the boys, because so much is happening.
Let's stop that.